This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
Welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Nina Zipkin, staff writer at Entrepreneur.com. Today, I'm talking with Alexis Ohanian. He is a best-selling author, open internet advocate, and a serial entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of the venture fund Initialize Capital and a site you might have heard of called Reddit. First, a word from our sponsors. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for small businesses. You don't have the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. Old school payroll providers just aren't built for the way you work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. PC Mag and Fit Small Business have called Gusto the best payroll for small businesses. Gusto makes payroll a breeze. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say Gusto is easier to use than other payroll solutions. Gusto saves you time. 72% of customers spend less than 5 minutes to run payroll. Gusto is reliable. 4 out of 5 customers actually reduce payroll errors after switching to Gusto. Don't believe it? Just Google them. People love Gusto. How often do you actually love your payroll provider? Most small businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With great software and great service, you can focus on your business, not payroll and paperwork. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great service for your team. To help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/HSH. Alexis, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with why you're in New York. You're working with 1850 Brand Coffee on this new idea contest. And so when you're looking at these pitches, what's going to make you say, like, yes, that's the one that can go the distance?
You know, this is fun because my day job is fielding pitches from people literally all over the world with some idea, some bold and crazy idea to change the world. And because we're investing at the earliest stage, there's usually not a lot of data to go off of. They don't already have an established business with revenue or traction, like user growth. They just have an idea and maybe a prototype. And so what I have to look at really comes down to the people themselves. Those are the people you're making the bets on at the end of the day when you're making an investment. They're the ones that you're going to be working with and helping for a decade. And so the best data that I have from people is based on how they think through their ideas, how well they've thought through things like the size of the market and how they're going to get something out into the world as quickly as possible. And so I want to look for ideas that are going to feel, that really will feel almost a little contentious, because those are the big world-changing ideas. If it were something that everyone just kind of said like, oh yeah, this is interesting, okay. If it doesn't provoke a little bit, then it's probably not pushing it far enough or big enough. So I'm really looking for that. And it's exciting too, because the internet really does flatten the world in a lot of ways, and it means that we'll get to see ideas from people everywhere, and I know we're gonna get some good ones to bowl up.
Yeah. So you're sort of in this part of your career kind of moving into more of a mentoring role, and I'm always kind of curious, because a lot of times people, especially when they are younger, you're not that.
I'm old.
No.
I take it. Yeah.
No. You're in your 30s. Come on. No, but I'm just saying, because you're not necessarily. You definitely had a lot of companies and established yourself, but you're not like, this necessarily like an august figure, like whatever. But do you ever feel like reticent or not ready to be a mentor, especially when you were sort of moving into this part of your career?
I still very much feel like an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I think what Gary, my partner Initialized, and I, we're habitual entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. We think of venture of doing early stage investing as a chance to do some pretty radically different things by building software to run the fund, and by also just, you know, trying to build out a team like any org of really great people. But being a mentor is thrilling. It really is. And I think what has changed is because this industry moves so fast, it's not enough to just be a sort of complacent, august, you know, figure just sort of giving advice.
Sure.
Most of the time that I spend is actually asking questions of founders that I am either considering investing in or working with, even. And there's guidance that I can provide and tactics that never really change, that are just always sort of fundamental tactics, like shipping as soon as possible so you can get users and start getting feedback on whether or not they like your product, for instance. But the nature of the businesses, the nature of the technology, all that stuff changes so fast that that if you're complacent, you're gonna be wrong. You're gonna lose. I enjoy not having to be responsible for hundreds of employees at a rapidly growing startup like at Reddit over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I got almost all of my gray hairs from that. and I really, really want now to scale the experiences that I've had. And I guess it is more of a mentorship role, but I still get to roll up my sleeves and help founders and feel like an operator again. But I don't have to carry that mental burden all of the time, because the nature of the job is just different. And it's like a really cool professor gig. Mm-hmm. But one where you have to be even more active of a practitioner. And yeah, there are still long days, and that's where the coffee comes in. But it's fun. It's fueling. Yeah.
And kind of thinking back, who were some of the mentors in your life that made a difference, and what made them great to you?
Oh, wow. Is it wrong that I don't, this is probably not a PC thing to say, I didn't really have mentors. It's actually one of the regrets. It was both a regret and a lesson. Because, I mean, certainly my mother and father played a huge role.
Sure.
But, and then that goes without saying, right? Well, maybe it doesn't. It's worth saying. but like when people think of the traditional mentor, they're thinking of someone, right, more established in the industry that they're aspiring to. I think with entrepreneurship, so I know mentorship is important. With entrepreneurship in particular, it's a slightly different beast. Because at the end of the day, so many of the people, like even in my role now, I don't think I would be a very good mentor to someone if I was just giving them advice about how to build Reddit, because it's very unique to my experience. Whereas if I were editor-in-chief at Entrepreneur, mm-hmm. I could give, or an editor or whatever, I could give much more useful mentorship advice to one of my junior colleagues, because there's a path, there's a track, like I know that universe really well. But the universe of entrepreneurship is so broad and so ever-changing that, like, to have a real, like, playbook, it just wouldn't even be helpful. Because even the advice that I gave from being an entrepreneur a year ago is relevant to my experience taking a company from, like, 250 to 400 employees, which is very different from someone taking a company from 0 to 10, which is very different from et cetera, et cetera. So the nature of it's different. There were people, Jessica Livingston, who was one of the partners and founders of Y Combinator. Like, you know, she took the first chance on me as an entrepreneur, wrote me my first check, and provided some really great advice at times when I needed it. But I wish I could tell you there were sort of specific mentors who I'd call up every month or have breakfast with once a quarter, but I didn't. And I think it's the right approach to be seeking advice if you're going down the path of entrepreneurship like that, but I wouldn't frame it as mentorship. And I'm not picking on your semantics.
I think
a lot of founders, I mean, I still get emails from people regularly who explicitly are asking, like, hey, can you mentor me? And the essence of my response is, like, no, and here's why you shouldn't want me to, because my experience isn't going to be that relevant for you. And the things that are the sort of the more specific kind of tactical things I and many people who are better at them than me are trying to scale by publishing, by writing blog posts or answering Quora threads or, you know, posting videos on Instagram talking about these sort of tactics. You can get those for free. You don't need to take time out of your day to you know, come meet or even have a phone call. You can actually get this and mine it from a much broader range of people. You can read Entrepreneur and find it. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, there's my long answer. I think what's special about this is, you know, normally, like the kind of office hours, as we call them, that we give to founders are for companies in the portfolio, companies we've invested in. And so, you know, with this Bold Pioneers contest, people from all over will get the chance to have that kind of office hours experience, which I think will be pretty fun for me, and I hope valuable for them.
And so a lot of times I think people view success as something you need to like run after and pursue, but a lot of it's also sort of knowing when to take a step back. Mm-hmm. And in your career, you definitely did that with Reddit mm-hmm. a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was sort of wondering, there's the weighing of, well, why mess up what works, but also I don't want to stay too long at the fair. When those moments kind of come up in your, over the course of your career, what were you thinking about at the time?
I've been really lucky because all of the jobs that I've had since college were, I mean, they were companies I started. So all the jobs before that were, you know, companies I worked for as an employee. And so I have been always optimized since starting Reddit to be doing things that I felt I was passionate about. And so when I moved on from Reddit the first time, you know, it was in large part because I felt like it was now an acquired part of Condé Nast, and we'd been there for 3 years, and I really felt like, you know, they'd certainly gotten their money's worth from the deal, but also that I just needed time to get away. And I was living in SF at the time, and I actually went to go, I volunteered for Kiva for 3-4 months in Armenia. I'm Armenian, so it was my first trip back to the homeland. And that was like, that was a decision that I made because that I was just selfishly optimizing for what I wanted to do. And so that is basically how I've looked at these decisions. And it is definitely a privilege and a luxury that I've tried to just always optimize for ever since. And so similarly, now that I'm in this role back at Initialized full time, it's again like it's me just being selfish. You know, I was on parental leave. You know, 16 weeks later, I'm really thinking about what I want to be doing, how I want to be spending my time. Like, I want to, you know, I certainly want for my child the chance to, I don't know, I want her to have a seat at the table. We have a little, we have a toy that we call the boardroom, which is, it's just like one of these plastic things with like, it's like a big table that she used to have to like be in a walker to get around, but now she can just walk and kind of stand on and smash things and make noises. Anyway,
sure.
We call it the boardroom, and it's like got all this whole story around all the different sections. But I just started thinking about what are the things that I, like when I come home from work and she's old enough to realize that I even leave for work or anything like that. What are the stories that I want to tell her about? And being able to be back and Initialized full time, you know, I get to tell her stories about like, oh, hey, I met this founder and, you know, she's working on this thing using augmented reality that's going to help surgeons do their jobs like 50 times faster and better. And that's like an exciting, that's a story I want to come home and talk to her about, as opposed to like, you know, as you're growing a company from 400 to probably, you know, 1,000 employees in the next few years at Reddit, like that's just it's a very different conversation about the things that happened that day at work. And I'm just selfishly optimizing for that. That's a special opportunity. And like I said, I've just been trying to make the most out of them.
What do you wish you had known about success when you first started?
That it is, well, I did get to know this pretty quickly. After starting Reddit, actually, that it is all relative, and that ultimately the things to be optimizing for, the things that will make one successful, are bigger than they're both bigger and smaller than like sort of traditional metrics for entrepreneurship. What that means is, there are some really kind of fundamental basic things that are actually much bigger and that would make someone really truly successful. This is probably the worst answer to give for the entrepreneur podcast, but like, it's the things that come down to like the people you spend the time with in your life, whether it's family or friends or loved ones. It's things like health. It's things like being able to just look forward to the work that you get to do, and hopefully, you know, do something that makes things a little better, or at least not worse.
I made things worse.
Yeah, right.
You take that home.
No, I mean there are literally. Yeah. I mean there are.
I know.
Plenty of professions where it's like, yeah, you're actually kind of making things worse. And so that's it. Like, I think that that really is a big part of it. And then the other angle of it, I guess, the more entrepreneur friendly angle of it is that if you really are the kind of person who is an entrepreneur at heart, you'll never be satisfied, and that's okay. Like, I think what makes us wonderfully broken as people, by the us, I mean entrepreneurs, is that the goalposts are always moving, and there isn't like a point where you're like, great, all right, I'm done. And that's okay, because it's the thrill of creating things. It's the thrill of building teams. It's the thrill of putting things in the world that people love. And it's invigorating. And it takes someone who's bold enough to say, like, there's a problem, I'm going to fix it. And you know, believe in it when really no one else does other than you and maybe your co-founders. And I do appreciate now, too, more than ever, just how kind of fuzzy that word success even is, because we are in such a subjective industry. So, like, in sport, there are very clear ground rules. There's a fixed amount of time. There's a point system. And there are objective winners and losers. And there are some gray areas and, you know, instant replays that people will challenge endlessly. Mm-hmm. But, like, by and large, that industry actually has success as a quantifiable, like about as objective as you can get metric. Like, you actually know if you won, you actually know if you're the best. Whereas in business, I mean, there's a million ways to slice it. It's very fuzzy. like, I think that is, it's one of the things I actually admire the most and appreciate the most about sport. I mean, I've been a sports fan my entire life. But it's one of the things that I really started to appreciate as I got into business, and then certainly once I started dating my now wife, which was, it's so easy for us to bullshit about, like, which company is bigger, which entrepreneur is more successful, and it's all just, it's an endless debate because there's no really objective way to look at it. But it's kind of nice about sport because you can't objectively say, like, like who's a winner and who's a loser.
It's more concrete.
It's a lot more concrete. Yeah. And there's still debate. I mean, believe me, there's plenty of debate still.
Sure, of course.
That sport allows, but it's a lot more straightforward, a lot more honest when it comes to quantifying it and quantifying success. So, yeah.
What does success look like to you now compared to when you started?
Well, the biggest one is, you know, the greatest job that I got or startup that I created was my family and being a husband and a father.
Sure.
And I know it's so cliche, but success to me now is all about at the end of the day, it's all about my family and about that legacy and my kid. And my career still plays a huge, huge role in that, and I'm still trying very hard to be business dad. And I know I struggle with it, and I'm definitely not perfect at it, but
no one is.
But that is, I don't know. I think that's success to me is like making sure that my wife and my kid feel loved, feel supported, and feel secure and able to be their best selves. And like that's something I feel very responsible for. It helped me appreciate Game of Thrones way more.
Why is that?
Because I never really understood. Like, I now think about House Ohanian. I never and I'm not advocating a lot of the really evil things that
less
people
murder
did.
Maybe
yeah. lot less murder. I'm not again not advocating for sure. criminal acts on behalf of your family, but I think watching that show, and like I have a great relationship with my father, I had a great relationship with my mother before she passed, but like I didn't acutely understand what it meant to be willing to do anything for your family until I had one of my own. And I had in very rapid succession had a baby. I got a baby and a wife in like a very close period of time. So very instantly realized, okay, yeah. great. I got a squad now. I got a wife and I got a kid and I'm wholly responsible for them in a lot of ways. And they're just, they're like, no one's missing a meal in our household, right? I know how fortunate we are, but mentally, it is just this next level, and it's frankly it's really exhilarating. So when I think about it, that's what success means. And the good news is my career is a very important, huge part of that, but it now has a counterbalance in the house, and I must protect this house, and I must do everything I can for this house, and so that's what. That's what it's all about. Yeah, that's what it's about these days. I mean, the biggest, one of my favorite rituals that we have now is Sunday morning, I make breakfast for the family, usually pancakes. I mean, I can make other things, but the gluten-free pancakes seem to be a winner at the moment. And just the routine of waking up, making a cup of coffee, starting work on these pancakes, and now my baby can eat solids, so it's a little bit more interesting, so I can feed her too. Just that ritual and that routine of waking up is, it's everything. And it's like that, I live for those Sunday mornings, especially because some Sundays, like because of the nature of our lives and travel, I don't get to spend it with them. Mm-hmm. But I try doggedly to make sure, even if I'm gone for 5-6 days, like I make sure that I can get back for the Sunday morning. And yeah, it's a great feeling. Yeah. Business has provided me with a lot of amazing feelings, but it's just, it's a difference, next level. It's, I'm telling you, it's that Game of Thrones stuff. You get it. I totally get that show on another level now.
What's the House Ohanian motto?
I clearly have not thought this through.
Well, now you have the opportunity.
All right, let me think this through, talk it over with the missus and see if we can come up with a good one.
Yeah.
The mascots would be a honey badger.
Nice.
That would be mine. And then it would be a honey badger with a, I think her spirit animal is like a tiger. Yeah.
Why a honey badger? Because they don't quit?
Exactly. Okay. Honey badgers are tenacious. That's why they're I mean, it's an internet meme, of course, as well.
Of course.
But when Gary and I were thinking, because I have to have a mascot for every company that I start.
And why not?
We were thinking like what it would be. And I think we kept coming back to it because great founders have to be relentless and fierce, just like a honey badger. I mean, these things can get bit by a poisonous snake.
They don't care.
They take a nap, and then it gets out of their system, and they wake up, and they're just like, oh, okay, that sucked, but whatever. I got a good nap out of it.
We should all be more like the honey badger then.
100%. 100%. So yeah, the House Ohanian sigil is definitely like part honey badger, and then a tigress, and then we got to come up with a motto. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was all I had for you.
All right. Well, tell everyone to submit their pitches.
Yes.
Bold pioneers. Let's see what you got.
And so where else can the people find you on the internet?
Well, I'm doing Facebook Live, but this is going to come out after. So y'all are going to have to watch the video after the fact. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you were there asking me questions, or you've already asked me them right now at this very moment. But yeah, check it out. 1850 Folgers at Facebook and everywhere else on the internet.
Great. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us with a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. It's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.